You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. No, this is not by Yahweh's design, and we miss you, Pastor Dan. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. The title of this message is Red Stars Over Hollywood. You'll remember that from about 5 weeks ago, I intended on doing this message, and Yahweh turned it into Animal Farm, and it ended up a four-part series, right in the middle of the show. So I will attempt this Red Stars Over Hollywood again. However, there's several things that we should discuss, as I always like to do that. Because there's very important things that are going on every day. Now, what I want you to understand about what's going on in the world right this moment, I've already explained to you how it's the, we all have, about the flood surrounding the woman Israel, whom we are. We are the woman. We are the true Israel. We understand all those things. We know that there's chaos in the streets. There's chaos in the business world. There's chaos in the financial world. There's chaos in each individual country, in Europe and all over the world. There's chaos everywhere. But this is a planned chaos. No, dear listener, this did not just happen by happenstance. This is a well-orchestrated thing. It has many purposes on many levels, and I've told you several of the purposes. To bring the war between the Muslims, remember last week? To bring the war between the Muslims and Christians together here. Okay? Because that's the only way they could do it. The Jews couldn't. We went over there and bombed them, got them all angry at us, and then the Jews used their immigration system to get them all into your country so that they could take a revenge upon you. Which they had no, they weren't our enemies before 9/11, for the most part. But now, they're our enemies. And it isn't just happening because this is a natural progression of history or a natural progression of just what takes place in the world and in the kind of things that happen like this are just, oh, yes, this is ordinary. No, what this is Ordo Ab Caeo. Yes, that is a Latin phrase that's used by the Jews in Freemasonry. Ordo Ab Caeo means order out of chaos. And that is exactly what is planned. The only thing is it still depends. This is their plan. And they've been trying to bring this order in. They tried to bring it in with Daddy Bush. And in 2000, they were going to put a golden cap stone on the pyramid, the big one, in Egypt. Never happened. They still have not been able to bring this so-called New World Order, which has been known about for an awful long time. I was speaking with Eli about this, and I told him that the New World Order was in the newspapers in the late 1800s and early 1900s about how the New World Order was going to be for the Jews. And then I told him about, and I'm sure there's things I don't know about too, but Nelson Rockefeller was one of the first people to mention it as a politician. And people think that Daddy Bush was the first person to ever mention this New World Order, and they keep playing that over and over and over and over and over. They don't even know that Daddy Bush is a Jew. And of course, the son is a Jew too. He loves studying the Talmud. Yes, the Bush family, just look at them. They look, they have that same, the Jewish curly hair with those eyes that look like crabs, you know, they're stuck together real close. You know what I mean? And the insidious Jewish smile. He even has a bit of a nose, but you know it's been shaved. No, he was not the first one to bring up the New World Order. And so, when you look at what's going on in the world, it's deliberate chaos. The Jew is paying the blacks. The Jew Soros, and probably some of his compadres, are paying these people worldwide $8 an hour or something like that, and that's if they even get paid, to cause chaos. Chaos in the stores, chaos on the roadways, chaos in the cities, chaos at the eateries, chaos anywhere you can think of. And the blacks have a saying, shut it down, which of course they couldn't have thought of that themselves, as you well know. The Jews thought of that. They gave them this Black Lives Matter nonsense. And the it is a terrorist organization. It is a communist organization. It is a political organization. But blacks don't have the ability to bring things like that together. Very few could do anything. The Nation of Islam, when this guy goes away, will probably die. Good old Farrakhan. Khan is a Jew name. Farrakhan. Now, so they're creating chaos in the military. They want to bring in homosexuals into the military. They want to have them as leaders over real men. They want dog lovers, horse lovers, all kinds of things in there to bring chaos into it. But one of the reasons they want to bring the gays into things like the military is because they know the gays hate the white men. And when they tell you go out and kill the American white men citizens, they will do it with no problem at all. I bet you never think of these things. You just thought they wanted to get the gays in there. Well, number one, it's to put them in positions of in charge of real men so that they can demean the real men that way by having a fairy in boots lord it over on you. Now, Ordo Ab Chao, order out of chaos. Is there not chaos in the financial arena? There has never been more chaos than there is right now in practically every area you can think of. Am I correct? Well, of course you are, Dave. You're always right. Oh, thanks. But that's not true. But I can't always be wrong either. Okay. So that's the purpose of what's going on around you. There's chaos in Mexican gangs. They're killing the mayors down there with the police. I told you one of the purposes of killing the white police is to make them feel like they can't do that job anymore, and they'll fill all those jobs with blacks who will persecute you on a daily basis and write you tickets and all kind and harass you and abuse you, and that's exactly what they're looking to do. Now, people talk about civil wars in countries. Well, the Three Stooges seem to tipped me off on something. They had one of their episodes, and it was called Uncivil Warriors. Do you get it? See, they're Jews. And I've always loved watching the Three Stooges, but now that I know what I know, I realize what it really is. They're disturbing society. They're disturbing white society. They're disturbing the white countries. Uncivil warriors. So when we talk about civil war in America, this war will be anything but civil. It will be uncivil. Number one, blacks aren't part of our country. I don't care if they were born here or they weren't born here. So it wouldn't be a civil war. The real civil war already happened in America between whites against whites. Blacks against whites is not a civil war. It's an uncivil war. It's also an unwarranted war. But it's declared again by the Jew, as all wars are. The only war that the Jew hasn't declared is the one in the garden where Yahweh declared that war between the seed line of the offspring of Halel and his own offspring, the Adamic race, whom we are. And we see the evidence of this war. The only problem is only really half the people know they're at war. And that's usually the serpent seed line. Time for you people to realize, whether you're a Jewish Christian, which can't be, that's impossible. What I mean is, if you're following Judeo-Christianity, which is the Jewish version of Christianity, which there is no such thing, really, as the Jewish version. It's another fable of the Jews. Titus 1:14, beware of the fables of the Jews. When are you people going to understand that these fables have been going on? I did a show called The Fables of the Jews. Why don't you go back and listen to it? I think it would be very valuable for you to hear. And maybe it'll wake you up. Maybe you'll finally realize we are at war. This war is for your very life, whether you think you're in it or not. If some black guy comes by and shoots you in the head, and you weren't in the war, you still got killed, and you're still a casualty of the war. We've lost two-thirds of our people in the last 150 years, and it's beginning to really accelerate. Because the war is intensifying. Do you need to be shot, or do you need to have a concrete brick upside your head before you realize you're in war? So, no, this is not a civil war in America. It's an uncivil war. And it's part of Ordo Ab Caeo. You see, what they want to do is they want to create chaos in all the arenas of the world, whether it's chaos in the shopping, the grocery store. That's why they made it the way they did in the first place. You see, we had farms, and Yahweh gave us those farms. I know I'm repeating myself, but some of you new people don't know this. Farms were a protection. You always had organic food from farms. You always had fresh food. You always knew where it came from. You didn't need a job. You didn't need to rely on a supermarket. And that's why the Jew wanted to get Dorothy off the farm. She wanted her to go over the rainbow. That farm is boring there. We got to get you away from that. Just come to the new supermarkets that the Jews have made for you. And yes, they'll be full until they want to create some havoc. and then all of a sudden the shelves might be mysteriously empty. Then what does one do if one does not have a farm? See Yahweh's wisdom? Can you see that he's always right? Have you ever heard me say he was wrong? Because if you ever do, throw a concrete brick at my head. Because he's never wrong, ever. Now, you see all this stuff that's going on, right? You see that there is chaos in the supermarket. There's chaos in the stores with flash black mobs. Oh, they're dumping things all over the floor. They're having a real good time. They're hurting people. They're killing people. They're shooting people. I don't mind when they shoot themselves. I'm all for that. I just don't want them to shoot us. Just keep it in the family, because there's a curse on the black race. You see, when you persecute the woman, there will be no peace in your house. So there will be no peace in the Jews' house, and there will be no peace in the blacks' house, and there will be no peace in anyone that persecutes the woman. There will be no peace for the Muslim. So as I've coined the term Jewicide, the Jews are committing Jewicide as we speak. It isn't something you do in a day. It's something you do over a period of time. It's also called the completion of sin. The Jews are committing Jewicide. There is no doubt about it. They are getting ready to run, and I will explain that to you in a minute, because it's very interesting. Now, also the blacks are committing Jewicide, because the Jews are doing this and are encouraging them to do this to themselves. I told you that the blacks are already disliked around the world. There isn't going to be a corner of the world, or I shouldn't say corner, I don't want anybody to think that I might be speaking of anything specific, but there won't be a place for the blacks the way they're going now. Even the liberals are getting banged by the blacks, because the blacks are just so stupid, they have no idea how to do anything correctly. They're out hitting judges that stood up for them. They're out hitting, stealing the mayor's, you know, one of the mayors of one of these big towns. He's a liberal mayor, and they carjacked his car. That might tend to change a liberal's opinion. It might not, too. But that's also judgment from Yahweh, and it's very amusing to me. Normally, I would feel sorry for people, but if you're a liberal and you've stood up for everybody but your own race, and you've helped to destroy your own race, I hope you get destroyed. Either that, or I hope you learn a real harsh lesson and you turn from it and change your ways. One or the other. What I've realized about the Jews is something that Yahweh did. And here's the statement that I would make to you. If you want the pigs to run, you've got to rattle the demons inside them. I'll say it again for you. If you want the pigs to run, you've got to rattle the demons inside them. For instance, you know where I'm going with this. Yeshua was walking, and he came across this man that had demons in him. And they were rattled for sure. And he said they were legion, because there were so many inside of this man. The demons asked Yeshua to send them into a herd of pigs. See, they didn't mind that Yahweh says, don't even touch the carcass of the pig. The demons wanted to get in those pigs. They didn't mind if they were in the man or if they'd get in the pigs. Understand that? Think about that for a while. So when he cast the demons out of the man and into the herd of pigs, they began to run. And they ran and they committed suicide. Yes, they ran right into the water and drowned. Now, this is exactly what we need to do to these Jews today and to the demon-filled, grafted-in goats of our people. We need to rattle those demons. How do you rattle those demons? How do we rattle them? Well, we look them in the eye, first of all, and we keep talking about them and putting them in fear. The demons are very fearful. They're even more fearful than people are, especially when it comes to holy things. Do you want to rattle the demons inside of these pigs? Become more holy. Clean it up. It's hard to do sometimes, but you just got to keep battling at it and battling at it, and you just get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And I've seen demons just jumping inside of people. You don't even have to do anything usually. They just see inside who's inside of you. And who's inside of them doesn't like who's inside of you. That's exactly what happened when Yeshua walked up to that man. They knew who he was. They knew he was Yahweh. They resided up there before. They knew who Yahweh was and what he looked like. So, this is something we need to concentrate on. If you want the pigs to run, you've got to rattle the demons inside of them. Put them in fear. And words and just looks and just being holy is enough to do that. Sometimes you don't even have to say the words. That's just a piece of advice for you. Now, there's something else I'd like to mention. What I'd personally like to see, and I'm not calling for this, so don't try to say anything. I'd just like to see it. You see, I love those Death Wish movies with Charles Bronson. And those movies, if you have watched them, those movies are basically what you see going on today. And they were committing crimes, and the police were not going to do anything about it. So Charles Bronson, who is a Jew, neither here nor there, whatever, he played a vigilante. And it wouldn't hurt the world. And maybe even the cops would be willing to play along at this point. It wouldn't hurt the world if we had a good 100 of them across America or so. Maybe 200. Snuffing out evil. You know what it did when Charles Bronson played the Death Wish, when he played this and he was in a city? They'd talk about it in the papers that the vigilante struck again. And the fear of the demons that were doing evil, the fear of the evil people that were the children of the flame, the children of the night, began to be in fear, and crime went down and down and down. If I were a police department in America and I knew I had a couple of vigilantes, maybe, you know, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 of them in my city, I'd turn my head the other way. But I'm not a cop, and I'm not in that position. But it is the very remedy we need in America. You see, if they won't obey the laws of Yahweh and kill these criminals and just keep putting them into prisons and letting them out so that they can kill again. You see, you do realize that they are putting blacks in prisons and giving them much milder sentences. So what they do is they go in and they train some more how to kill and be a more effective killer. Then they let them out on good behavior because the committees are always... You know, the committees that allow them out, they're always bought and sold. So they let them go out and they let them kill as many as they can, and then they catch them and put them back in. Now, this is something that's going on across the nation. I bet you never think of these things. I see it all the time on black and white crime. You see, death is a penalty that Yahweh has instituted in his law. And when you see a Jew or a politician crying out to stop the death penalty, what you're seeing is somebody that is moving against Yahweh. And getting you to approve upon moving against Yahweh, which means that you're going to pay the price. Not only the price of moving against Yahweh, but you're going to pay the price with the crime. You understand that the price of not following Yahweh's will and Yahweh's laws have more than one ramification? Like what happened in the garden, he said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. But much more has happened to us than just dying, hasn't it? Death comes in many forms, does it not? And the ramifications are uncountable on what really has taken place from what we'd done in the garden, correct? Well, that works the same way when you go against him. You see, in Saudi Arabia and other places, if you steal something, they chop your hand off in public. What might you think that would do for crime? What do you think that might do for crime in those countries? You're right. It almost stops it completely. Not completely. There are still people that'll do it. But it really curtails the crime. This is why the death penalty's there. You don't think if these blacks saw that you rape a white woman and you get the chair right in public, right on television, you don't think that would curtail what's going on in our country right now? See, I'm not a genius. I just have common sense. But what I know is Yahweh's ways are always the right ways. They're the way they are because he knows how it should be. You see, there's many ramifications to when you obey his law. There's many ramifications for the criminals instead of you. See, the ramifications don't come upon you when you obey. It goes upon the criminals. But when you disobey and you allow a Jew to tell you, oh, we can't be killing these people. Let's put them in jail And you can now listen to the ramifications of it. And I'll just touch the surface of it. Number one, you're going to pay taxes to put this guy through his trial. You're going to pay taxes to keep him in the jail before his trial. Then you're going to put him in jail and you're going to, your taxes are going to pay to keep him in jail for however many years he's going to be in that jail. If it's for life, you're going to pay him to live a life that should not be lived. And you're going to pay all those taxes, whether it's $75,000 a year for them to live. Do you make $75,000 a year? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Then, more ramifications, they let him out on good behavior, which you know is a bunch of horse manure. And they let him go out and kill more. That's more ramifications here. You understand what I'm telling you? Now, if you don't know that the Jews know this, they're the ones that orchestrated it. See, what it really comes down to is it's just easier to obey Yahweh's law than it is to break Yahweh's law. It really is. In the long run, it's easier to obey his law. It's easier on you. It's easier on your nation. It's easier on your finances. It's easier on your cousin, your brothers, your sisters, your racial brothers and sisters, etc. Why do you want to keep on obeying the Jew? Do you think they have some kind of knowledge that Yahweh might not have? Do you think it makes sense? Oh, maybe you think it's terrible to put these black men in prison. I mean, after all, they've raped your daughter, and you're supposed to forgive your enemies, right? That's not how the Bible works. The enemies we're talking about are forgiving are your brother and sister, people of your own tribes or other tribes of Israel, the true Israel. We're not talking about forgiving Jews or forgiving blacks for putting your people into a pot and eating them. You know, I often think of my people as smart, but the more I see my people, the more I wonder about just how smart they really are. See, because, as I've said before on the show, back in the time of Benjamin Franklin, he said, the problem with common sense is that it's not that common. Now, if that, those people were super intelligent in their day. Now, if it wasn't common then, this is my saying, how common do you think it would be now? How common do you think common sense is today, in today's America? I don't think I have to answer it. I think I've answered it. Okay, and on this same subject, I don't know if we're going to get to Red Stars Over Hollywood, but that's okay with me because this is the way Yahweh does his thing. Now, you see that the Jewish-run Disney and the Jewish-run Hollywood likes to put out things like Beauty and the Beast. I want you to think upon that for a few minutes. Think of just the cover. In case you might not know, why not just go look and take a look at the cover of the movie Beauty and the Beast and tell me what you notice. And I'm going to tell you the levels of all this subliminal brainwash. Okay? What we see is a blonde girl. And there's a beast. And she ends up falling in love with the beast and kissing the beast. Now, number one, there's your first idea of the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's the first subliminal thing I get out of it. That's what's in every sign of the world, practically, the male and the female. Any sign that has the male and the female, the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's the first thing the Beauty and the Beast is. That's not only race mixing, but it's mixing. It's a hybridism, hybridization is the word I think I'm looking for, unless I made that up. No, I think it's a real word. Hybridization of an angelic race and the offspring of Yahweh. So it's a big problem just on the first level. Now let's take it to the next level. We know that this beast is dark, don't we? On the cover, don't we know that? So again, you have the Adamic race, the blonde Nordic female, and you have the dark race, the beast of the field. Doesn't have to be black, could be any color you want, but white. So it's race mixing. It's falling in love with somebody that you need not fall in love with. Correct? You see the brainwashing that goes on here? Now, I can take you to another level of this same thing. King Kong. Same deal. I believe she was a blonde-haired woman. And she fell in love with King Kong. King Kong. It's the same exact thing as Beauty and the Beast. It's the same thing as falling in love with somebody out of your race. And the Jews begin to teach women of our race that you can fall in love with somebody else, of somebody other race, and what you should do is you should elope and run away and disobey Yahweh, disobey your parents, and go by your feelings and do what you will, and that shall be the whole of the law. Do what thou wilt, and that shall be the whole of the law, says the devil. And Yahweh says what he said the law was going to be. But the devil just said, do what thou wilt, and that shall be the whole of the law. Now his children are the opposite of him. They make new laws every minute. Okay, so back to what we were talking about, getting us to disobey. You see, they want us to accept this homosexuality, the bestiality, and all the evils that they get us to accept. Whether it's eating pig, whether it's filthy jokes, whatever it is to demoralize you, to corrupt you. Why do they want that to happen? Because so judgment will rain down upon us, like Sodom and Gomorrah. See, Yahweh will only take so much. They know that. They've watched that through history. Their father Halel, the devil, has watched that through history. They're pushing this evil upon you. They're thrusting it upon you on a daily basis. They're thrusting it into your children's minds. In the school, out of the school, in the Talmud vision, in the books, the school books. They're thrusting it upon them at early ages so that the perversions have good time to grow within them. It's a poisoning, ladies and gentlemen. Your mind has been poisoned. Your water has been poisoned. Your food has been poisoned. The food of thought has been poisoned. Your conception of things has been poisoned. Your direction has been poisoned. Your purpose has been poisoned. Your life has been poisoned. Your skies and your land and the sea has been poisoned. I just saw an article about the World War I or World War II lands that were fought on all these battles. They're wasteland still. They show you what happens when the Jew comes into your land and causes his wars. It destroys the land. Do you not understand that Yahweh will have to make a new heavens and a new earth because everything has been poisoned? The Jew itself is poison. It's poison to everything. Poison to your finances. Poison to your retirement. Poison to your body. Poison to your mind. Poison to your soul. Poison to your obedience to Yahweh. Poison to your thought processes. Poison to your real knowledge of truth. Poison to the truth of history. Poison to everything that filters through you, your mind, and your liver. You say, well, what are you talking about, my liver? Well, everything goes through your liver. Believe it or not. One of the reasons they make these commercials and they keep bombarding you with all this noise and this crap that goes on today is because that also goes through your liver and that affects your life. I know it sounds a little strange to you, but I saw this guy talk about this one time and it made me realize that what he was saying was very true. Your liver is a filter. Your mind is a filter. Your mouth is a filter. Now, it looks like we're not going to get to that, but that's okay. We might, though. You never do know. I want you to think about something. One thing we often, the Judeo-Christians try to make the make Yeshua this hippie of love who loves homosexuals and loves the sinner but not the sin. You've heard me say this a couple times in the past few shows. But that's stupid love. And no way does Yeshua, he's not stupid. And he's not a hippie. And he's not an idiot like they think he is. One of the reasons why they have written the white people out of the music industry is because our people fell in love when they heard the songs from our own people. I could think of lots of songs that made me feel romantic. And you would see pictures of a man and a woman looking in each other's eyes, listening to their song, they would call it. It was a song that was special to them, that made them feel love towards one another. That's all gone. And that's why it's gone. We're having less children, and that is another of the reasons. I bet you never thought of that one either. But now that you think of it, now that I mention it, I really doubt if you'll disagree. Those songs, our music was superior to anything you'd hear today. And it made the hell we live in more livable. Notice how Yahweh talks about the destruction of Babylon and how he talks about how there'll be no more music. He puts it in different ways, but that's basically just paraphrasing quickly. A lot of those songs meant a lot to a lot of our people. It helped men and women to fall in love and to find some kind of a connection to one another. And of course, it caused lots of children to be born, if you get my drift, which is not happening now. But it would have been. So, what is music now? It's not even music. It's like everything the devil does is it's a cheap imitation of music. Now, you may be a classical music lover, and you may think that the songs of the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s are a cheap imitation. But if you thought that was cheap, you didn't know what was coming next, did you? There were some real beautiful songs in those eras. But there aren't any beautiful songs anymore. Music is now hate music. Music is now lust music, not love music. And music is now materialism. Most of these people sing about me, 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 my, me, I, me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. I'm the Frito Bandito. Oh. Well, I have a little bit of advice for Muslims today. And I've said this before, but who knows, maybe none were listening then. My advice to you Muslims is to make a map of where the Jews' addresses are in this country. I mean, after all, you're cab drivers, aren't you? All you got to do is do some networking and map out a map of all these Jews. And then I leave it in your capable, loving hands to know what to do next. But I won't tell you what to do. Maybe I'll tell you, go give him a nice kiss. Hmm? You know, like a kiss that they gave to Yeshua? Number two. Now, this isn't for Muslims. See, I dream of a day when I see the sports arenas full of empty seats. I dream of a day when the Hollywood movie theaters are full of empty seats until the point that they become bankrupt, until nobody wants their product anymore. Now, I wouldn't encourage that against hockey. Hockey is pretty much protected. It's a white sport for the most part. And tennis might be the same. But as far as all those other sports, I'd like to see empty arenas. Empty. No support whatsoever. It's the same as a news station that has no viewers because they've lied and lied and lied and lied. What good is a sport when nobody wants to see it? Nobody wants to pay to go see it. I'd love you to turn your television off, or at least boycott the sports. You know, wean yourself off of these things. I told a guy that television was evil. And he said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, well, do you really want to know? I said, I make a challenge to you. Stop watching TV for 2 months and then come back and talk to me. He said, I can't do that. I said, see, you just made my point. Oh, yes, you can do that. Oh, yes, you can do that. I saw a video of the Democratic convention, and Hillary was speaking, and probably a quarter of the seats, if that, were full of people. The rest of them were empty. Talk about the lack of support. The lack of support. See, when I say the Jews are committing suicide or Jewicide, they really are. It's starting to even, the liberals are starting to become anti-Jewish. The liberals are getting sick of the Holocaust garbage that is shoved down everybody's throat. They wanted to do something in the Democratic convention to commemorate the Holocaust. These people are sick of it. You've milked that thing for so long, there is no milk left. But they are squeezing the last drops out as we speak. We don't believe in that. Even more, we don't believe in you, Jew. We don't believe in Jews. We know about the fables of the Jews. We don't want to hear you calling out for anything in our society anymore. We never did want to hear it. You just thought we did. We don't want to hear any more from the ADL. We don't want to hear any more from the Southern Poverty Law Center. We don't want to hear any more from Barbara Boxer or any Feinstein or Charles Schumer or any of you. Nancy Pelosi, who's a Jew who pretends she's Italian. We don't want to hear any more from you. We know what you are. We know where you've been. We know where you've taken us. We know where you end. And that's the most important thing is you must know where you end too. But we know where you end. We're just not sure how much longer we have to put up with you until you end. And once you end, so will all the sorrows in the world. So will the lies that you have spoken. So will the false promises of peace. We really will have peace when you're gone. There will be no peace as long as you live among us. And more and more and more of us are getting that on a daily basis. I'm hoping I can write my sheep article today and maybe get it out either today or tomorrow, which is the final in a three-part series. The first one was pigs or pigs on the wing. The second one was dogs. And the third one will be sheep. We don't want to hear any more from the Jews. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care about the Holocaust. I don't care about anything that you care about. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about your tears. I don't care about your fears. I just want them to grow exponentially. I want you to be paralyzed by fear. Do you hear me, Jew? And I proclaim it and have proclaimed it in the past. I proclaim that fear will grasp you exponentially and that it will come on you exponentially and never stop growing. I proclaim that there will be no peace in any Jew's house. You want to play the game? You want to be at war? You want to play war unfair? That's another thing about the sports of today. That's not how whites play basketball. That's not how whites play football. That's not how whites play baseball. We played it with fairness. We played it with integrity. These sports are not being played with integrity. And if you can't see that, they have about as much integrity as the Jew, you Jew. You see, we don't like anything about you. I don't like your smile. I don't like your smell. I don't like anything about you. As a matter of fact, you're a repulsive people that I don't ever want to see again. Just like I don't want to see the blacks anymore either. Just like I don't want to see the Muslims anymore either. You are repulsive. You are a beast of the field. I'd rather look at a horse than you. As a matter of fact, horses are beautiful compared to you. You disgust me. And you make me want to vomit. And I don't care how much money you have. You are incapable of running this world. You have proven it. I have said it over and over. You are incapable of anything but evil. You are incapable. You are affirmative action. The blacks aren't the only ones who are affirmative action. You Jews who are pretending you're running this world or whatever you're trying to do, you're running it down. I know that. You're pretending you know how to run the world. You're pretending that you are us. You're pretending that you have the abilities we have, but you just don't have those abilities. You are affirmative action, just like the Jewish Pope is an affirmative action Pope, just like all the Jewish actors are affirmative action actors, just like all of you people as a whole are affirmative action. Jews are affirmative action, just like blacks are. You're not capable. You never were capable, and you never can be capable. You never will be capable. But thank God you're flammable. And I live for the day when I see the children of the flame, the goats and the grafted in goats, succumb to the flame and return to the flame. Yes, I'm not alone in that, Mr. Jew. You know we're watching you every day. You know we're praying against you. See, more and more of us know who the enemy is, and we know it's you. The eyes are on you. And you may have plans and bring in all this chaos, and you may think you're going to bring an order out of this chaos, but you will not have a land of your own over there in Israel, and I don't believe you're going to have your order either. Have you realized now that this order was supposed to be done in 1953? You do know that, Jew, don't you? You said it at a meeting, didn't you? I think we're a little late here, too. Let's count that up. 63, 73, 83, 93, 2003, 2013. You are now 63 years into behind in bringing your new world order in. And you're 68 years behind in having the country of Israel. Do you see some common threads there? Are you in control, Jew? Or is Yahweh in control? Do you think I know the answer? I know the answer. And I don't think you're going to have, I don't care how much chaos you create. All you're doing is committing Jewicide. You have plans, and Yahweh has plans. Guess who's going to win? Guess whose plans are going to outdo your plans? Guess whose plans are going to supersede your plan? You planned on having that little land over there 68 years ago, but your plan hasn't materialized, has it? And you planned on having the New World Order in 1953, but it hasn't come to fruition, has it? This tells me you're incapable. You're an affirmative action loser like your father is. Your time is ever nearing the end. Of your time is ever nearing. I know you've heard that before, but now that your fear is going to grow, and I hope that all my brothers and sisters will pray the same prayer against you, that the fear they will proclaim, that fear will come upon the Jew and the Negro, and there will be no peace in your houses ever, whatever kind of house that is, whether it's the house of your body, or whether it's the house you live in, there shall be no more peace because there'll be only fear. Fear growing exponentially. Fear attaching it to you. You know how you wrap the entrails, you rip the entrails out of your enemies and you lick the blood and you wrap the entrails around them? Well, this is how the fear is going to work with you. It's going to wrap around you, and it's going to keep wrapping around you until you're paralyzed and you can't even think straight anymore, which is obvious anyway. You can't practically think straight now because of your mongrelization. You see, the reason why you're allowed to make all this chaos to happen is because we have half-breed Negroes. We have a whole mess of half-breed Muslims that have married their cousins like you do. Then we've got you on top of it. And then now this is also happening in South America, from what I understand. So no wonder the world is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You're all half-breeds. You don't know who you are. You don't know whether white as white or black as black. You don't know who to identify with, although you all go towards the darkness, now don't you? You gravitate towards darkness, don't you? Because you're children of the flame. Because if you were half black and half white, it would make sense that you would want to be with the whites, wouldn't you? Even Michael Jackson wanted to be so white that he had his skin whitened. He had his nose changed. He had his lips. This is how white he wanted to be. Yet you people don't want to be white. You want to pretend you want to be black, like it's cool, like those are attractive people. I'm sure everybody wants to be like the Jew. I mean, wouldn't you love to have a big hook nose and little crab sand eyes and stuff like that, like Bush? Wouldn't you? Don't you want to be a Jew? I don't think so. So I want you to know, Jews, you're no longer the invisible. You are now the visible. You've changed your names. You've trimmed your noses. You've whitened your skin. You've put in blue contacts and green contacts. You've blonde made your hair blonde by coloring it. But this is all fake. This is all imitation, just like your music is imitation. It's all to accomplish hate. It's all to gravitate hate towards the white man. When you do your dirty things and these blacks see you, they think you're whitey. So now whitey is the one that's doing all this evil. But you see, we know who you are. I just told you that. We know where you come from. We know your patterns. We know your hatred. We know your games with the name calling. We know about your usury scams. We know about how you like to smile to win. We know about communism. We know about all the killings that you have done throughout the ages. Because number one, Yeshua told us about half of them all the way up till Zechariah and the temple. But we know about the killings since then. We know who the Jewish abortion doctors are. We know who wants to take away our guns. I mean Whitey's guns. I mean the law-abiding citizens' guns. We know who that is, Jew. You trained us from childhood not to be conscious of any names or any races or any color or anything. And you wanted us to go against our very instincts that Yahweh had given us. See, color tells you about danger. In nature, color warns you to stay away from certain things. And you want to mix everybody up so nobody can tell who's who and who's you, Jew. But you know something? I can smell a Jew. I know by the way they live their lives, whether they're Jews or not. And if they're not, they're really good Shabbos goys that are no better than Jews in the first place and will receive the same judgment you do. They seem to have no fear about that. They seem to have no fear that tomorrow is coming. Oh, there is no God, they say. There's no God. There's nobody up there. Those are all stories in the Bible. You know, let me give you a little clue about something. Just because you don't believe in God or Yahweh, that doesn't mean he's not there. Now, I want you to think on that for a little while. Let me say it again to you so you get it nice and clear. Just because you don't believe in Yahweh, or I'll say the word God so you know who I'm talking about, that's his name, doesn't mean he's not there. You can put your head in the sand and pretend nothing's going wrong, but that doesn't mean that nothing's going wrong. And that doesn't mean that it's going to go away because you put your head in the sand and pretend it's not there. Oh, you may have a shelter with your head in the sand for a small amount of time. And you may ease your conscience by telling yourself there's no God, there's no Yahweh. But guess what? There is. And you can have your head in the sand and pretend there's no problems, but guess what? There is. And the problems aren't going away, and the problems aren't going to go away, and you aren't going to do anything about it until it affects you personally. Correct? And then we'll be lucky if you'll do anything about it even after it affects you. Now, there's something else I wanted to speak about. Looks like no red stars from Hollywood. I'll rename the show again. It's not that Yahweh doesn't want to talk about it. It's that things happen. If you're a soldier of Yahweh, then I want you to think about something about being a soldier. I'm not saying you just say you're a soldier of Yahweh. If you're a soldier of Yahweh, there's one thing a soldier must do. And does anybody know what that is? The soldier must be willing to sacrifice. The soldier must be willing to sacrifice his comforts for a time while he's at war. He must be willing to sacrifice the love of his family while he's at war. The soldier must be willing to sacrifice his life, if necessary, while he's at war. The soldier must have his priorities set right while he's at war. The soldier must be able to think to keep himself alive while he's at war. The soldier must use his survival techniques and tactics while he's at war. The soldier must be willing to kill the enemy while he's at war. And I'm sure I could go on and on and on about it, but I think you get the point. If you're a soldier of Yahweh, of the host of Yahweh, there are going to be things that are required of you. Are you willing to give those things? Is your race worth it? Is your family worth it? Is your country worth it? But most important, is Yahweh worth it? Now, just backing up a little bit, I wanted to say, and I started to talk about, how the Jews are trying to make love a thing of the past. Love is something that brings us strength. Love is something that tells us we're worthy. Love is stronger than hate. I'm not talking about this hippy-dippy nonsense. I'm talking about real love. Are you afraid to love? Have you been taught not to love? Have you noticed that it says in the latter days, the love of many shall wax cold? Have you noticed that love is, there's less love in the world? Like I said, when I was a child, there would be women of my race that would bring me in their home and give me a treat. You know, give me a piece of cake and a glass of milk or something. There was kindness. There was love. Love for each other, not just for this, for yourself. It's easy to love yourself. It's easy to love those who love you. But what about love itself? How much are you participating in love? And I could ask myself the same question. Love of somebody you don't know. Do you care about people you don't know? Or do you just say to yourself, I'm 65, 70 years old. I'm not going to be around much longer. I don't care what happens. You know how many times I've come across people like that? I'd like to just slap them right in the face. What about these children? Should we keep them in schools with Negroes so that they could either become Wiggers or that they can get the living crap kicked out of them by 10, 20 Negroes at a time until they quit school? Is it worth trying to make the Negro equal with us, which can't be done, by the way? It's the same as trying the Jews trying to have that land over there. It can't be done. Yeah, you might find one Negro if you put enough time into them. You might be able to get some brains, and usually they're hybrids anyway. Is it worth sacrificing your children's lives and them hating their childhood and growing up in an abusive atmosphere like that to equalize a Negro to your child? Is it worth your money? Is it worth your time? Is it worth their lives? The answer is no. Plain and simple, no, it's not worth it. If you love your children, you wouldn't want them to live like that. You wouldn't have wanted to live like that. Would you like to go to school and every time you come into school, somebody's checking you for a weapon? When you're 10 years old? I mean, I don't understand what... Your people, you people in my race, you liberal idiots, you useful idiots, you fools, and I don't mind calling you fools because I know you'll kill our race and try to protect every other race but ours. Now, Yahweh's got some special judgment for you people. And it's not only judgment of the future during the judgment day. I'm seeing it on black and white crime. I saw that Eli put up a thing that about this woman. She was a liberal judge and stopped racial profiling. Then all of a sudden, three Negroes are in her house, beating her 76-year-old husband or whatever. And she has to run to the neighbors and it's got cuts all over her and all sorts of stuff. And she's calling them blacks, profiling them. See, she had to experience it to get a good taste of these people. Yahweh's got some special judgments. You know, I've heard stories of our liberal white women who went over to Africa to help the Africans protest and to help make them equal. They ended up raping and killing them. Now, in a way, I feel sorry, but not really. It's judgment. If you love some other race and you'll destroy your own race, you deserve what you get. If you're going to disobey Yahweh and bring hybrid children into the world, if that so-called lover of yours kills you and your hybrid children, I have no pity for you. We all make our bed and lie in it. But this shows me just how susceptible the media is. That man could not take my challenge and not watch TV for 2 months. Imagine that. If he can't do that, what else do you think he can't do? He can't live without the Jew. He can't live without the Jew supermarket. He can't live without the Jew welfare system. You dig what I'm saying? That's what all those things are there for. So it's decision time in many of your lives. It's time for you to get off the fence and make a decision on whose side you want to be on. You know the ramifications. You know that king for a day is not worth it. There are many who are going to follow the devil and his children to be king for a day. This is what the blacks are experiencing. This is what the Muslims are now experiencing. They're going against the woman Israel. They're king for a day. Not a literal day, but, you know, for a time, let's say. Will it be worth it? Well, I'll tell you something right now. I guarantee that it will not be worth it for those people. I guarantee destruction upon them because I know what Yahweh's word says. Now, the Jew told them, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. Just like their father in the their father in the garden, they said, he says, oh, you won't die. You'll be as a god. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You won't die. Now, dear listener, was that the truth? Did the devil tell the truth there? Did we or did we not die? And have we not died in thousands of fashions? Have we not died in every way possible? Have we not died spiritually, physically, mentally, etc.? Have we not? Was the devil telling the truth? Are his children telling these people, these races that they've turned against us, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. Just think, you'll get to have a white woman. You can rape her. Nobody will do anything about it. You can kill. And there'll be no ramification. We'll make sure you don't go to prison. And if you do, we'll let you out on good behavior. Don't worry about it. You won't die. Are they telling the truth to the families of the world? Are they telling the truth of what's really going to happen to those people that are coming against us at this moment? Are they just going to get away with all this? I know the answer. That's why I'm laughing. As a matter of fact, many of them are already not getting away with it now. That's why I'm even more sure of the answer. But I was sure enough just knowing what Yahweh says. But this just adds a little cream on top of the cake, you know? Maybe a cherry. Like I told you, I don't hate these other families of the world, but I'm starting to. If you're going to go with the devil, my enemy, I hate you then. If you're going to kill my people instead of bless my people, then I'm going to hate you. But I didn't start off hating you. Don't try to act like, you hate all of us for no reason. Just like they try to say that the cops are arresting the blacks around America for no reason at all. They're just like, and Hillary, the Jewess, who would like to just puke on her face. Sorry for the graphic illustration. But she says that the cops are just arresting these people and putting them in jail for absolutely no reason whatsoever. There's no reason why they're going to jail. There's no reason why the cops are arresting them at all. I never really thought I'd see a time like this. As I was growing up, I remember seeing the token black. And I remember they were in the projects. But I never thought I'd see a day like this. I didn't know about those things I read you last week. I didn't know about Israel Cohen. I never thought I'd see a day that we see today in America or around the world. A day where France can no longer be France, the wonderful place it was. And there's no point in getting too sad about it. Because it's all going to work out after time. We may have chaos at this point, but certainly we do not have any order yet. I don't care what the plan of the Jew is. You Jews, your days, the grip that you have is slipping. The grip is no longer a grip. You're hanging on for dear life. And we're going to keep on rattling the demons inside of you until you run. But you're going to have no place to run to like the blacks are going to have no place to run to. This time might be a lot different than times in the past where the ducks and hens scenario was played out and you were able to just run to another country. It just may not be that simple this time. Take a bite out of that one. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.